I honestly don't know where else you could have gone this morning to get that. That was amazing. Thank you for that song, and thank you for pointing us to Jesus this morning. Stand with me if you would, and let's begin in Luke chapter 10, verse number 38 this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he," speaking of Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Heavenly Father, I pray that as your word is opened this morning, our hearts have been so prepared by that wonderful song. And Lord, I pray that today we would just refresh in our hearts and in our souls just the importance of Jesus. Lord, make him everything to us this morning. Make him everything. And Lord, we thank you for how good you've been to us throughout this week. Lord, I think of the many trials that we've prayed through with our church members this week, and I think of some today whose hearts are hurting. And I pray that you'd give the peace that passes all understanding to them this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would comfort our hearts and minds with your truth today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Last week, we began a two-part series, just two Sundays, talking about really the same subject from a couple of different perspectives, really, on the subject of Jesus first. And I want to just restate this morning the purpose of why we bring this to our attention today. And that is because it is impossible to make Jesus everything in your life, as we just heard so clearly sung about this morning. It's impossible to make Jesus everything to you when he isn't first in your day-to-day life. And we've encouraged you this week, or last week rather, to make Jesus first in areas such as maybe church attendance, referring to the house of God as something in the book of Acts that Jesus loved. God loved the church and gave himself for it. I think if God loves something, we ought to love it too. Making Jesus first in the area of our Bible reading. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that in just a few moments. In areas such as our prayer life, maybe one of the most difficult disciplines of the Christian walk is to have a consistent prayer life. Making Jesus first in this really hot button area of our finances. You say, well, you take an offering every time we come to church and sometimes twice. Yes, we do. That's not so that we can get all of your money. It's so that God can lay on your heart what you should give. Can you believe you heard that this morning, that the church doesn't want all of your money today? You need to mark it down. Delete the recording as soon as we get done, please. Making Jesus first in our faith when it comes to what we talk about. Have you ever thought about how it's our job, and if we don't do it, nobody will, to get the gospel out to people around us, your neighbors, your coworkers, the people that you know and love who don't know Jesus? The Bible says, and we preached this last week, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we ever seek to make Jesus the ruler of our lives, the Bible says we won't have to worry about some of the most important things in our physical needs, food and drink and clothing, the things that we work for, the things that we strive for. Now, this passage this morning hones in on one of the most practical aspects of the Christian life. Keep in mind, Jesus had just finished teaching a lesson. The Bible says that a man came to him and he said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus didn't answer him because he knew he didn't come honestly. But instead, he asked a question. He said, "What's written in the law, and how readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Jesus was not interested in getting into a debate with this man, but he persisted, and he said, "Who is my neighbor?" And this morning, I won't preach about it, but Jesus went into the story of the Good Samaritan. And he begins to teach us that one of the most important things that we can do in life is to spend our lives helping others. We heard a great song on that last week, our special. My grandfather sang the song, "Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like thee." I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus today. And Jesus dedicated his life to others. But now we go into a story here where Jesus is, he's not teaching us to love our neighbor. He's teaching us the first one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. Jesus had come to Mary and Martha's house, and we're going to find a lesson on this as we've already read the text and prayed this morning. Before we talk about the story, I want to pose a question to you today. And that question is, if there were only one thing that you could do really well that would contribute positively to your spirituality, to your Christian life, what would that one thing be? What is that one thing that God says, if we are to do this and nothing else, that this would be preferred by God that we focus on? And Mary found the answer to that question on this day at Jesus' feet. There were two sisters here, Mary and Martha. The Bible tells us about these two ladies, very different personalities. Martha was the more aggressive of the two. She was the instigator of everything. It was Martha who said, hey, Jesus, you're coming over to our house to eat today. It was Martha that when Lazarus died and Jesus showed up 4 days after his death, Martha met him and came and pointed her finger in his face and said, if you had been on time, this would have never have happened. As if a woman is ever on time, okay? All right, I'm glad we took the offering already. But she was the one who was always in your face. I want you to see how Mary was different. Mary was always the one who was at Jesus' feet. It's one thing to come face to face. It's another thing to come bowed at Jesus' feet. If you were to study the story of Mary throughout this particular Mary, I know there are several in the New Testament, you would find that this is a common posture that she had. There was a time at Simon's house where the Bible says she washed Jesus' feet. In this house today, as they're getting ready for a feast and a meal, the Bible says that Mary, instead of serving with Martha, and nothing wrong with service, we'll explain in just a few moments, but instead of serving that day, she sat down and she just listened to Jesus. I want you to notice in verse 39, what was the main purpose? What's the emphasis of this passage? And then I'm going to give you some things to think about this day as we go home this morning. In verse 39, the Bible says she, talking about Martha, she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. What are the next four words? Say them out loud with me if you would, please. And heard his word. And heard his what? Heard his word. I want to submit to you this morning that it's better to sit at the feet of Jesus by pursuing a regular and consistent relationship with the Word of God than any other spiritual activity that you could do. I want to say this morning, I'm thankful for the choir who sang. They did a wonderful job. Brother Chamberlain and your daughter Maria for singing this morning, for the congregational singing, for the fellowship, for the Sunday school classes. I'm thankful that someone got up and made breakfast for our Sunday school class this morning. I don't know why I talk about food every time I preach, but it must be because it's important. Thank you to Brother Brandon and Kibby for doing that. I'm thankful for all of that, but can I tell you, if all of those things went away and all we had was the Word of God, that ought to be enough for you to come back to church next week. Because we don't base our faith upon the fellowship of the saints, though it's a wonderful thing. And we don't base our faith upon the worship that we give to God through song. Those are all good things. They're wonderful things. But I want to say this morning and submit to you that we do base our faith 100% in what God teaches us through His Word. And that's what Mary teaches us. Now I want you to think about it today. We've encouraged you already. Would you consider reading your Bible? Would you read your Bible through in a year? We're already 3 weeks in, about 3 weeks into the new year. Maybe today you come to church and you look at that Bible reading schedule in your bulletin and you say, wow, I already blew it. I'm not caught up. I'm not where everyone else is or where I need to be. Maybe you say, well, it's just impossible for me to read the Bible through in a year. And can I tell you this? It's not the law that you have to read the Bible through in a year. It's just an encouragement. It's just an exhortation. It's just exhorting us unto love and to good works as the Bible commands us to do. But could I challenge you, if you can't meet all of the different standards and measure up to all the different expectations, would you open your Bible before you go to bed tonight? And would you just ask God to show you something from His Word? Maybe you came in this morning a little bit discouraged about that fact. You know what I've determined is true, and this is opinion today, maybe not preaching, but opinion, is that most of the time people get discouraged not because they're not matching up to God's expectations, because we'll never match up to God, but because they don't match up to other people's expectations. And sometimes other people don't even have expectations, but you think they do. And you come in and say, well, they know I didn't. I don't know if you read your Bible this week. I'm really not worried about where you're at in your Bible reading schedule. What I am worried about today and concerned about, as a pastor of a local New Testament church, accountable to God for this most important thing, I am concerned today that we be unlike all of the, maybe the other average churches out there. I don't mean that as a criticism today, but I really believe that the average church has very few people who open their Bible. Very few people who read the Word of God. If you came looking for some theological sermon this morning that's going to blow your socks off, you won't find it today. This morning, my purpose in being here over the next 2 or 3 hours is to, I just wanted to make sure you were awake today. It's cold out there, but it's warm in here, so we have to make sure that everybody stays awake. Over the next few minutes today, it's just my heart to try to encourage you through the Word of God of the importance of getting into it on a daily basis. I think about this. There are really three different elements that all of us need to consider when it comes to our relationship with the Word of God. It ought to be, number one, a daily relationship. Now, whether you read the Bible through in a year, 3 chapters a day, that's one thing. Maybe you read the New Testament through in a year, that's 1 chapter a day. Maybe you just read a proverb a day because you say, I can get a few verses in, 31 chapters for 31 days. You can make up a chapter in 5 minutes. It's no big deal. Maybe you say, well, I'm going to read a psalm. You know what I used to do when I found myself in a spot where I couldn't or I didn't read my Bible one day? I used to go to the shortest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 117, 2 verses. I'm telling you, don't do that today, but what I'm saying is, no matter where you are at on the level of Bible reading. Maybe you're not reading it once. Maybe you're reading it twice or 4 times this year, once a quarter. Maybe you're reading it through once a month, which is entirely possible. They say if you'll do 45 to 60 minutes in the morning and 45 to 60 minutes in the evening, you'll read your Bible through in a month. But no matter where you're at, I'm not so concerned with the amount of Bible reading you're ingesting every day. I'm more concerned with it being every day.
There have been some times when I've read my Bible through in a year. I'm reading my Bible through this year, 3 chapters a day. That's what I'm doing. In my personal devotional walk with God, 3 chapters a day, and I'm just asking God to speak to me through that. I've committed on Sunday nights, as long as the Lord gives me liberty, to be preaching out of the previous week's Bible reading schedule. So when you come tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to open our Bible reading to somewhere between Genesis and Exodus, and we're going to see something from the Word of God in that passage of Scripture. I'm doing that as much for me as I am for you this year, because I want to make sure that I have a consistent and daily relationship with the Word of God. Another thing we ought to do, we ought to have an early relationship with the Word of God. So the first point is we ought to have a daily relationship with the Word of God. Could you say that one word with me? We ought to have a daily relationship. The second word is early. We ought to have an early relationship with the Word of God. And I would say today that maybe the most profitable hour of your day is not 6 a.m. in the morning. Maybe it's not first thing. Maybe you have to get up and you have to shower. You have to get that cup of coffee. Amen to that right there this morning. And maybe you have to do that, but give the best of your day, and a lot of times it's best to start early and to start with the very first thing out of the gate, being to fill your life with the Word of God. But I would also say there's a third element to our Bible reading that all of us ought to consider. Not only should it, number one, be ready daily in our relationship, and secondly, it ought to be early in our relationship, but I want to say, number three, we ought to be prayerful in our walk with God. Could I encourage you this year, if it means reading less every day, but praying more in your Bible reading, would you consider doing that? Would you consider, as you read through those 3 chapters, when God shows you something, and we've all said it, right? We've all been reading through our Bible, and I've heard people say, Pastor, I've never seen this before. It just jumped off the page at me. When God does something like that in your life and in your Bible reading, would you just stop and would you seal that in your heart by praying and praying through that scripture to the Lord? Just tell God, that's what I need. That's where I'm at. That's where I need your grace and I need your help. So the first is daily, the second is early, and the last one is prayerful. Maybe some of you started, you're already off schedule this year. You're thinking, there's no sense that I'll try again. But I have good news for you this morning. By the way, that's why I'm against a lot of the resolutions that we do. Most of them are done by now. It's the middle of January, okay? But as we seek the Lord, can I just encourage you this morning that anything that you want to do, that God also wants to do, you've got more power to do it than if you were doing it on your own. So if you surrender to the will of God, which we know that the will of God is for us to regularly have intake of the Word of God, if we say, God, this is what I want to encourage you with this thought this morning. You are not reading your Bible alone. You're not fighting your schedule alone. You are not pushing and trying and struggling and feeling like you're swimming upstream alone. God is in that struggle with you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to bless you through his Word. Now, verse 42 really encapsulates the truth of the passage. Now that we're halfway through my time this morning, let's get to the sermon today. Verse 42. It says, and one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Look at it one more time. One thing is needful, And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her this morning. Three very simple thoughts. I want us to notice from the scripture today the primary nature of God's word. The primary nature of God's word. The Bible says that we as human beings, as men and women and people who have real troubles and real struggles and real problems, the Bible says it's easy for us to become like Martha. What was Martha doing? The Bible says, according to Jesus, she was cumbered about with much serving. I'm thankful this morning for the people who are not in this room. You say, what do you mean by that? There are people all over the property today who are running children's ministries and nurseries. How many of you are thankful for the nursery today like I am? My goodness. And they're running different programs, and they're teaching children the Bible, and they're supervising, and they're helping, and they're investing in our young people. And there will be others throughout the week who will do things and serve in ways that none of us will ever see. Sometimes I find out about someone who came to church or came into the church throughout the week and performed just one little area of service, cleaning up an area here or there. On Monday morning, we'll walk in, and there will be a few people who are gathered together, and they're cleaning the auditorium, and they're straightening things up. On Wednesday night, the teenagers always come together, and they get the vacuum cleaners out after the service is over, and they straighten up the books and the envelopes, and they do all that kind of thing. You know, there's some of that I don't even see on a regular basis, and we have to understand that a lot of our service will be behind the scenes. But can I tell you, as much as I love to serve, and as much as I like to be busy, there's only one thing that is needful. And the Bible says it ought to be primary in our life. That's where we get the thought, Jesus first. Maybe you wake up tomorrow morning and your first instinct, like a lot of us, is to reach over and check the news. Can I encourage you, instead of doing that, would you think Jesus first? Maybe you're going to check social media and you're going to see what's been going on for the last 5 hours. What have people been eating for the past 5 hours, rather? Why don't you just say Jesus first? You see, the Bible says that Mary chose the most important thing, and that was to sit at the feet of Jesus specifically to hear his word. We know that Jesus is the embodiment of Scripture. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we've got to get to the place in our lives where we understand that the word of God ought to come numero uno, number one, first thing. Why is it so important? Well, the word of God is, first of all, the source of wisdom for us. 2 Timothy 3:15, the Bible says, all scripture is profitable. What's it profitable? For doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, all of the things that you need to be able to live life in the right lane with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say, I'm pursuing the Lord, I'm pursuing Jesus, the word of God will teach you how to do that. You think about it, everything in life, you need the word of God to help you with. We need the word of God in order to know how to be saved, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need the word of God to grow in Christ, because the Bible says that we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word. We need the word of God to defend ourselves against the attacks of Satan, where the Bible says, as it is written, Jesus said it over and over again, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We've got to understand this morning that we cannot survive in our own wisdom. We need God today. We need Jesus today. And the only way you're going to find that is through his word. We know that the word of God is primary this morning, not only because it gives us wisdom, but I'll tell you this, and this ought to be helpful to some of you today, because it shapes our perspective. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Aren't you worried about Iran? Aren't you worried about the nuclear crisis? Aren't you worried about wars? And aren't you worried about all of that stuff? No. No. Because we've read the book. We know how this ends. You know why I'm not worried about it? Because God's word already said, in the last days there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Can I tell you this? All I see when I hear the news report, all I see is the trumpet being raised to the lips of that angel. And they're going to sound that trumpet one of these days. And listen, folks, we need to stop. Forget about fake news. Forget about the news. Why are you so worried about the news? Some of you read more news today than you do Bible. Some of you read the news, watch the news more than you do the word of God. And the word of God gives us perspective. The word of God helps us to understand not only the grand global events, it also helps us in the immediate, in the little details. Martha was stressed out about that meal. You ever been there? She was stressed out about that dinner. She was stressed out about how everything was going to work out. But Jesus said, Martha, come aside with us, and let's just focus on my word. Number one, we understand this morning the primary nature of the word of God. It needs to become a priority to you. It needs to become something that you focus on first. And can I tell you, if you ever go through a day and say, oh man, I forgot, then read it before you go to bed. Just decide, I'm not going to let a day go by without reading the word of God daily, early, prayerful. Number two this morning, I want you to notice in this verse the personal nature of the word. The primary nature is that Jesus said this one thing is needful. The personal nature is found in the next phrase, and Mary hath chosen. Did you see that? The Bible is telling us here that, and it's worth pointing out, because sitting at his feet was obviously not the popular thing to do. Mary came in and said, please rebuke her for not helping me. Martha said that, rather. And Jesus said, no, this one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen. It's really not a point that needs to be labored on, but I want to say to you this morning that a life devoted to pursuing Jesus and his word will not happen by accident. If you're waiting for that big motivation to come from within you, and if you're waiting for one morning to wake up and find an angel over your bed with angel dust and waking you up in a good mood, probably not going to happen. You have children. I can guarantee it's not going to happen. You're waiting for that angel. You're going to wake up and see your two-year-old. It's going to be different, I promise you. It's funny how everybody's kids are angels, but not early in the morning. Amen to that. That's not a personal testimony of last night at 12:45 at all. Okay. But the personal nature of God's word is very, very real. You're going to have to choose it. Do you know there's a lot of things, and by the way, good things, it's going to pull for your attention, Chris. It's going to pull on you. And these are things that will crowd out your time with Jesus. You've got to choose it. You've got to prioritize it. Number three this morning, the first part is the primary nature of God's word. The second part is the personal nature of God's word. But I want you to see the permanent nature of God's word. Look what Jesus said about Mary. I want you to see this with me. This one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Notice the last phrase of the verse, which shall not be taken away from her. Shall not be taken away from her. What does that mean? Did you know that you can lose just about anything in life? You can lose your money. You can lose your family. You can lose the football game if you're a Vikings fan last Sunday, Brother Dan Wolf. I just wanted him to know that I was thinking about him today. You can lose those things. The Bible says that time invested in the Word of God is never lost. Isn't that an interesting thought? That no matter what I do, if I will pause and if I will say, no, I'm putting things before the Word of God that should not be there, and if I readjust my priorities, and if I open the Word of God, and if I read the Word of God, that even the smallest amount of time spent in God's Word is eternally rewarded. Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part. You can lose a lot of things, but you cannot lose the manna of the Word of God. Mary was concerned about dining at the feet of Jesus, while Martha was more concerned about dining on the physical food at the table. And if I could repeat the question, if you could spend time doing one thing, and that's it, I believe that this morning we would have to conclude that it would just be to spend time in God's Word. There are a lot of other good things that God wants us to do, but it starts with the Word of God. A teacher was speaking to his class, and he pulled out a big jar, and he took three or four baseball-sized rocks, and he put them in there, and they filled that jar up, and they were just enough to get to the top of that. He couldn't get another one in because of the shape of the rocks. And he looked at his students, and he said, is the jar full? And they said, oh, okay, this is a trick question. He said, no, it's not full. He said, all right, well, let's try this. And he took a bucket of gravel, and he began to shake it into there, and it began to fill in between all of those rocks. And after he filled it all up with that gravel, those little stones, he looked at him, he said, now is it full? Well, they caught on by this time, and they said, no, it's still not full. He said, you're right. He said, watch this. And he took some sand, and he shook as much of it in as he could, and he took that jar, and he shook the jar, and then he put a little bit more in there, and then he shook the jar, and he got all that sand to settle at the bottom until it came all the way up to the top. And he looked at everybody, he said, and now is it full? And they said, we're going to guess no. He said, you're right. And he took a pitcher of water, and he began to pour just a little stream of water in there until it began to overflow, and he looked at them, and he said, now is it full? They said, yes. Then he asked him, he said, what do you think the purpose of this illustration is? One student bravely raised her hand and said, well, the point is, no matter how full your life is or how full your schedule is, if you try really hard, you can still get more things into it. And he said, well, that's a pretty good observation, but you're wrong. He said, the point is if you don't put the rocks in first, you'll never get them in there. And the point of this morning's sermon is simple. If you don't get the Word of God in first, it rarely makes it in at all. If you don't put the most important stuff in right away, the things that really matter, if you don't put them in first, it's not likely they'll make it. Jesus said this one thing. It's one thing that is needful. That's it. And Mary had chosen that good part. Hey, I'm sure the food was good. I'm sure it was enjoyable to eat together. But the food wasn't the main event. Jesus was the main event. This morning, how would you say, if you had to evaluate, and I'm not trying to suggest today that we're balancing everything and that God thinks about us by how we live from day to day, although I think it's important, but if you had to evaluate your life based on that one thing that's important to God, how are we doing today? Could I encourage you to put it first? Make this book a part of your daily life. If I had this morning, I would guess somewhere between 170 people in the room today, just in this room, Last week we had a great attendance. We had 190 people in the auditorium and 323 people in church on a Sunday morning. Just absolutely wonderful. Great way to start out the year. But if we just took this 160, 170 people who are in the room today, if God had all of us just read three chapters in our Bible today, can I tell you that this church would be strengthened and God's heart would be blessed by that? More than just a few people reading 10, 20 chapters a day and through it in a month. And if you're doing that, that's wonderful. Keep it up. But Jesus just says, while we can, there's a verse in the book of Psalms, seek the Lord, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's no better time to develop a loving, close relationship with the Word of God than right now.